This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Until now, there have been four men and women named to lead the Illinois Symphony Orchestra. As of this summer, there is now a fifth. Taichi Fukumura is currently finishing up his tenure as assistant conductor at the Fort Worth Symphony. He's won second prize in the prestigious Mahler competition and has earned the Schulte Foundation's Career Assistance Award four times. Taichi joins me now. Welcome to the 21st Show. Congratulations.
Thank you so much, Brian. So great to see you, and thanks for having me.
And listeners, I should say, in order to make our schedules work, we taped this conversation yesterday, but you can always let us know what you think by leaving an email at talk@21stshow.org, talk@21stshow.org. All right, Taichi, I'm always curious about how someone gets to be conductor. It is one of the rarest jobs in the world. So talk about, what was your introduction to music? How did you get into music?
Well, music was part of my life for as long as I can remember. I started playing violin when I was three, but truly, I'm not exaggerating to say music has helped me find my voice. Because when I was five, I was going through a period of being mute for a little over a year once I went to school. And through music and through violin playing is how I found my identity, my way of connecting with my peers and opening up and finding myself. So truly, music from right from the beginning of my formative years has been a part of who I am and has made such a significant impact that that's what I try to share when I go and perform and try to connect with others.
What a remarkable story. Talk about how do you understand that happening? I understand you spoke, then you didn't speak, and it was music that brought you back.
Right. So I don't remember exactly what had caused this to happen. Perhaps part of it is change of environment and change of culture and things like that. But it was thanks to some generous, kind teachers who noticed that behind, you know, the unspoken, the silent side of me was somebody creative. They noticed in my drawings that I was engaging with the stories we were reading in class, and the drawings, you know, brought in characters from shows, and there were some narratives in there. Whereas the other kids, they were quick to accept that, you know, because he doesn't talk, they would be like, oh, no, you can't ask him questions. He's not going to answer. So it was actually the generous teachers who said, you know, it's the other kids who needs to realize there's somebody in there, somebody behind there. And so they organized my first performance, which is actually on video. And you can see a couple other kids were conducting along. So I was actually inspiring other conductors before I knew that existed.
I'm trying to think of the word for silence. Is it ma? Is that silence?
Yes, in Japanese, ma. Yes, ma is silence and also sort of space. It's the in-between.
Yeah. It's such an important concept in music as well.
It very much, yeah.
So what sort of, talk about how did you make the leap from playing violin to actually deciding, I want to lead orchestras?
Right. So I continued to play, you know, continued to receive amazing training on the violin throughout my youth, including playing, of course, in the symphony orchestras, but also playing in operas. That was really interesting because I got to see how the music in opera tells the story. I could see Macbeth running around with the dagger and then play that intense music that goes with it. So the orchestral repertoire was something I had always loved while growing up and playing the violin. And conducting was something that had fascinated me for a long time because I could tell as a performer how much that subtle body language, the communication, the eye contact, all of those things from the conductor had informed me and how I perform. And I thought that was a really, really interesting thing. So I had begun conducting also at a relatively young age, at 16. And the occasion was our local high school orchestra director was retiring. And me and a few group of friends, we got together. We wanted to put together a surprise performance. And not just that, but a surprise orchestral performance for him. So we put together our own group, and I conducted that performance. So right from my first steps as a conductor, it was very personal, very community-oriented, impact-oriented. And that's what I've continued with every conducting, every planning, every programming that I do.
So talk about how you get to know a new group of musicians. It's one thing when it's your high school friends, you presumably have relationships with them. But as you are, especially in the point in your career where you are, you're traveling so much, you're conducting right. different orchestras. How do you make that connection?
Well, that's really interesting. That's kind of one of the fun parts because, you know, every group of people that you work with has that sort of group personality, right? You can even have a lot of the same people and add a few new people, and sometimes the group can suddenly sound like a totally new group. But you get to know each other through making music together, through the rehearsal process, and through hearing what people bring to the table. What's amazing is I'm not the one making the sound. Everybody on stage, all these musicians are all experts in what they do. So everyone brings with them their own experience and their own ideas about what the music should sound like. And when I first meet a group, it's a really fun process of I bring a certain kind of vision of what I think the composer is saying, but at the same time, I'm also listening to see what everyone else is bringing to the table. And sometimes we come up with somewhere in between where we synergize our ideas into the performance. So that whole process is, through the rehearsal journey from day one all the way through the last performance.
Do you ever find, especially when you were younger and just starting out on this journey, is age ever a barrier? I think for a lot of people who maybe have sort of an image in their head of the older conductor, the grand eminence. Is that something you've ever had to sort of work with or overcome?
That's interesting. I think our field is dramatically changing and has been changing for a little bit already. So yes, there is that old sort of maestro, typical, almost tyrannical leadership style that's often associated with conductors. But that image has already been broken for a few decades. And so if you look around the field, there are just as many different conductors or there are different types of people and personalities. So much of it is about how our own, about our own personalities and also how we work with others. It's the interpersonal communication. As opposed to approaching things and feeling age, I don't think so. Because if you come with the prior, if you've really thought through what you think the composer is saying, then what your age and experience is doesn't matter, because what you're bringing is the answer to the question, how are we going to play this Tchaikovsky today? What are we going to do with this piece today? And as long as you're bringing that answer to the table, then you can work with anybody.
It's about the work. That makes sense. Let me take a moment to reintroduce our conversation. We are talking with Taichi Fukumura, the new music director of the Illinois Symphony Orchestra, which performs in both Springfield and Bloomington Normal. We're going to take a break. More with Taichi when we continue. This is The 21st Show. Stay with us. It's The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Let's get back to my conversation with Taichi Fukumura, the new music director of the Illinois Symphony Orchestra. We taped this conversation yesterday, so we're not taking calls today, but you can always leave us a voicemail anytime, day or night, by calling 217-300-2121. That's 217-300-2121. Let's talk a little about the search process. How does it work? What is it's more than just a Zoom job interview that I think a lot of people right. are used to in this day and age. How do you get to be the conductor of a symphony in 2024?
Right. So For the search committee on the side of the orchestra, I believe the process was about 2 years. And what they did is they identified a list of candidates that they sent invitations to. So it was through nominations that this position, I became aware of this position, which I'm very, very grateful for. And after that, we've had multiple rounds of interviews. The first, of course, was through Zoom. So we got to know each other through those little squares.
It really is a Zoom interview. Okay.
Yes, exactly. That's the initial step. That's where we kind of get to know each other and see what we're about. And then we were, through several of those steps, we were narrowed down to the final four candidates who came in to guest conduct in this previous season, 23-24. And something unusual about this search process was that each of us candidates got to come and work with the orchestra twice. So two different programs throughout this season. And I very much loved this whole process. First of all, those two programs that we got to do, one was the classic masterworks of the Full Symphony Orchestra, and the other was a beloved Holiday Pops that the Illinois Symphony has a great part of collaborating with many local organizations. And so being able to work in those two very different styles, two very different avenues was very, very informative and a lot of fun getting to know each other. Another thing I'll mention in the search process is, aside from conducting, rehearsing, and performing, there were also tons of opportunities for me to get to know the other constituents throughout the organization and vice versa, for them to get to know me. So there were lots of discussions, of course, with the search committee, but also with guild members, supporters, board members, and so on. The search committee itself was really interesting because this is a mixture of musicians, administrative staff, and also board members. And how often do you get that mix of people to come into the room together to talk about the future of the organization? Not as often as we may like. And that was a really exciting process too for me, because I got to see in this organization, the Illinois Symphony Orchestra, every constituent, every part of the organization has a lot of excitement for the future. And everybody was putting their heads together on how can we make things better, what our next step should look like. And that was a very exciting part of the search process. And that's something that I think is a very special thing about the Illinois Symphony Orchestra.
Well, let's talk about that. What is your vision for where the Illinois Symphony Orchestra needs to go? Like a lot of orchestras in this day and age, as long as I've been covering these sorts of things, people have been predicting the decline of orchestras. Many of them are still here, but attendance is a challenge. Talk about where you think the ISO needs to go.
Well, in fact, we are now in the 21st century, as we are on the 21st century show. And orchestras are changing. They're redefining what the musical experience, what the orchestral musical experience can look and feel like. And I think that's a very, very exciting thing that's happening in our field. The pandemic offered us an opportunity to hit pause and re-examine what's been done as tradition, as routine. Sometimes routine is a good thing. Sometimes routine can really get in the way to progress. And so taking that look to tradition and say, what has worked before and what's not really working is a really important step every organization needs to take to get to the next stage. In the Illinois Symphony Orchestra, this is a unique regional orchestra in that we have two different homes. We have the Springfield, Illinois base, as well as Bloomington and Normal, Illinois. And I think that sets us up for a very dynamic interaction, because each of these communities are a little bit different, and we get to repeat all of our performances. Not every orchestra gets to go to two different homes and do multiple performances. So those are all very, very good qualities of the Illinois Symphony in where we are. I think the most important thing is to make sure that everything we do is specific to our community. It's specific to who we are as Illinois Symphony, not just a cookie cutter. So we don't want to be putting together generic, here's another concert. but really putting our minds to what is meaningful to us, both to the musicians who are on stage and to the audiences who are joining us. Why do we gather and why do we listen to this music? I think in the way that we present concerts and also the way that we program for them, is crucial to moving the organization forward.
So I think in this day and age, what a lot of orchestras have done are these sorts of more pops or familiar music, like the music of Star Wars, just to choose an example at random. I don't know if the Illinois Symphony has specifically done that, but you've certainly heard of orchestras doing that sort of thing.
That's true. That's a really fun part of the mix. But actually, there's been a lot more creative endeavors as well. So, things that you might not expect, things that are less familiar, but we go and discover that these are, hidden gems. These are things we feel that is worthwhile for people to listen. Because if we don't do that, then who is going to go find this music? So it's actually, as artists, our jobs to go and find those hidden gems that we feel like people should hear.
Well, that's an interesting point, because I think my colleagues here at Illinois Public Media down the hall who program mm-hmm. a classical music radio station know this struggle sometimes. If you stray a little too much from the past masters, the European masters, sometimes you get people who say, oh, what is this noise you're bringing in here? Talk about, and look, I should say this is somebody who loves, and there was a specific teacher here at the University of Illinois who helped me draw that connection from Bach all the way up through Steve Reich and Philip Glass right. and some of the modern masters, and I really appreciate that sort of thing. How do you make right. that case to maybe the patrons who need to be brought on that journey still?
Well, that's a really good point. Of course, it's always a balancing act. You can't tip too extreme in one way or the other. You can't, solely focus on tradition, but you can't abandon it completely either. And I think it's a really good thing for us as an orchestra to be engaging with both and to engage with diverse styles of music and origins of music. As long as we're always answering that question of why did the composer feel the need to write this music? Why did we feel the need to perform this music? And why do we feel people need to hear it? As long as we're conscious of those, then I think we have a chance of getting other people on board, because first of all, we have to be excited and we have to fully believe in what we do. We can't just check boxes and put in things just because we think it looks good. It has to be things we truly believe in and we truly love. And that excitement hopefully will be contagious.
I want to play some audio. This is from your YouTube page. It's you competing in the 2023 Hong Kong International Conducting Competition. Let's take a listen to this. Tell us about your conducting style. How do you, I think people maybe have seen clips of Leonard Bernstein jumping up and down on the podium. And they maybe have their own high school band director who is probably a little more straight-laced than that. How did you develop a conducting style?
Well, that's interesting, because to describe your own conducting style, because I think, at least for me, I don't set out to determine a specific style necessarily, because it is truly who you are. And if you are comfortable with that and open to that, something will come across that ends up being, a particular style. But if you're trying to define a style as you're doing it, it doesn't always come across as organic. That being said, some descriptions I often hear from people is that the conducting is very dynamic. People who may know me beforehand but haven't seen me conduct are often, the first reaction is, where did that come from? because, people are used to seeing this smiling face and, I can come across as very calm, but whatever the music calls for, I really try to dig into that. Now, when I say dynamic in conducting, it's not just acrobatics. It's not just, oh, here's a lot of energy. I think what really surprises people is just how much of it is closely adhere to the musical details. So it's not just pure energy all the time, but it is what it is the music is expressing and what the character of the music is. All of that comes out in bringing to life the little details that the composer has given us in the score. And by being a part of that and inspiring my colleagues on stage to define exactly what the vision of the music is, then we can really connect with people through what that music is expressing. So I think the conducting that I do very much tries to adhere to whatever the life of the music is.
Was there ever a point, I mean, now you're established, you're a professional, was there ever a point where you were self-conscious about it?
Here's an interesting quote. I don't know if the exact wording is right, but you know the quote from Stravinsky that says, good artists borrow and great artists steal. I think that's so true. You know, there have been many times when I'm not sure how exactly to conduct something, especially in my earlier years. And I would go and look around and try to see as many different people approach that same passage. And, you know, you see that there are so many different ways to do things, but you have to have sort of that vocabulary and just immerse yourself in everything. And it's not so much that you're copying, but as you go through that process, it internalizes. So when Stravinsky says steal versus borrow, I think it means you're not just taking something that you see and doing it and copying it, but really it becomes part of who you are. So yes, I think as performers, there's always some level of self-conscious, but ideally you're doing it in a way that you're grappling with you're engaging with what's already been done and then processing all of that to come up with what you believe is authentically, in the moment, the right thing to do.
We are coming to the end of our time together. Your first concert is this fall with the Illinois Symphony. What are your first orders of business? What are you focusing on now?
Yeah, so even as candidates, it was really fun already beginning to discuss what we want the ISO to be doing 5 years from now, where we want the orchestra to head. And all of that informs us in what we do immediately, what we do this year. And of course, the first order of business is programming for the season. And that's something we're going to be sharing later in the summer. We have lots of exciting concerts coming up this season and something very, very special that I think our longtime audiences and new audiences will both enjoy. But the other order of business is the audition process. We have some key positions in the orchestra that are currently open, which is something that a lot of regional orchestras have to deal with post-pandemic. People have transitioned or moved or made changes in their lives and things like that. And of course, for us, this had coincided partially with a music director transition period. So there's an unusual number of key positions in the orchestra open, and that actually gives us a golden opportunity. Because as I said earlier, group dynamics can be a very, very interesting thing. So if you have most of the ensemble who are very, very dedicated musicians still present, and you bring in a few new people to the mix, right away you can start to hear some changes in the orchestra's sound. And at the end of the day, that's what we do. We make music, and we try to make an impact through that music.
Taichi Fukumura is the new music director of the Illinois Symphony Orchestra. Thank you so much for being with us on the 21st show.
Thank you so much, Brian.
Taichi Fukumura's tenure with the Illinois Symphony Orchestra formally begins on July 1st, although as we heard, he's already hard at work programming the concert season, which begins this fall, Friday, October 18th, at the UIS Performing Arts Center in Springfield, followed by the same concert Saturday, October 19th at the ISU Center for the Performing Arts in Normal. And that's all the time we have for our program today. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.